Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please do be seated. Those birds are quite good, a little accompaniment to us, aren't they? Can you hear the birds? You can hear them all chirping. It's quite lovely. Easter Sunday seems quite a while ago now, but in fact it was only 4 Sundays ago. Obviously the day we celebrated the risen Christ, the light no darkness could put out, even the darkness of death or of the tomb, Jesus rising 3 days after the crucifixion. And this year, with all this sunshine and lovely weather we've been having, I've noticed the light so much more. With Easter being so late, it probably is the case as well. We do have very little hours of complete darkness. It always seems to be a lot of light when I wake up. It's amazing. In our gospel reading today, we are taken back to the upper room, to the Passover meal Jesus has shared with the disciples. He has washed their feet, a role that would have been more typical of a servant, and Judas has already gone off to betray him. And he is now speaking to the disciples, and he says, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer." He is preparing the disciples for the fact that he will no longer be with them. Jesus knows where he is coming, he knows he will be crucified. But I think at this moment in time, even Jesus is unsure exactly how things are going to pan out. But he has faith in his Father, our Father God. And he speaks to the disciples, as he has always done, as a teacher, a guide, a friend, someone who loves them, who wants to protect them and prepare them for the future. No wonder he takes on the title of Father to describe his words on this occasion, as he calls them his little children. And of course, when Jesus speaks to the disciples, he is also speaking to us, those of us today who are his followers, his disciples, his little children. I wonder how often you get referred to as a child today. Maybe if you do, it might be in a way to put you down, but it is certainly not meant in that way today when Jesus speaks to his disciples, to us all as we read this. Jesus speaks to us in the way of teaching, as a guide, one who loves us, wants to prepare us, to protect us for the future. And he gives a new commandment. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In another part of the Bible, written later by Paul, 1 Corinthians, it says, chapter 13, we learn that love is patient, kind, does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. I think that fits in all the qualities, from the basic of actually smiling and being nice to others, to helping people, listening to others, which is really hard, isn't it? Just listening to others, finding out what they want. Not so easy when it's not the same thing as yourself. Helping them when things go wrong, and celebrating when things go well. We often call this letter of Paul to the Corinthians, an early church that he was writing to, we call this a blueprint of what Christian love is. And we often have this reading at weddings. It has been chosen by several of the couples at weddings that I have celebrated across the benefice since I've been here. It's a very important text in our Bible. Of course, some of us may not have experienced such love in our lives from our parents, in our family situation, in our schools, and even in our churches. But we do have that love from God, from Jesus. And we are told frequently in the Bible how loved we are by God, by Jesus. And we are told that as Christians we should show this love to others around us, not just to fellow Christians, but to all people. And none of this is easy. We heard about that in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter being really surprised that he's being encouraged to eat food which previously he would have considered tainted and not fit for purpose. It's an illustration of how sometimes we need to open and expand our lives to welcome what other people are doing and to not feel that it's being wrong. Really challenging, very challenging, of course. And Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what is coming, to say that we should love all people. I don't know if this sharing of love, of loving one another, is easier than being told as Christians we should go out and spread the gospel message by word of mouth. We could read this is how we should be, how it is to be a Christian if we love those around us. That is being a Christian. I suppose it is like those of us who have had a good father, a good teacher, a good guide, when we go off away from them, we take not only their teachings and the way they behaved, but we also become a bit like them. We've taken a bit of them with us in our hearts. We are a part of them and they are a part of us. That relationship has made us become a part of each other. We become like them. It is being a Christian if we love others. These readings today, well, I've been left with a few things from this reading, particularly about loving people. Some comfort that we do not all have to be eloquent in passing on the gospel message, being brave about teaching. Preaching is not the only way to share the message. But being a Christian means we show love to others. The act of love is such a great passing on of what Jesus taught us about himself and about God. And we see this around, you know, here, you know, with our refreshments, with the way that we knock on each other's door, the way we chat to each other when we know each other's poorly, the way that we watch out for each other, the way that we ask for prayers for people when we know that they're in need and we want to rejoice in a wedding. It's all showing signs of love. That's so important. So I've been left with that thought about how do we do that. And one of the most famous Bible verses, and I know one I used to always go and underline in any new Bible I got as a teenager, I was a gatherer of Christian literature and Bibles at that point, and it's John chapter 13, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We've got that very strong message of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then Jesus going to the cross for us. In our gospel reading today, Jesus knew that he did not have much time left with his disciples and he wanted to pass on the most important message to them, to us all. He knew that the world was not going to be kind, not kind to any of us, not all the time, and that there would be times of hardship for all of us. But of course, sometimes of great joy as well. And loving each other is the best way for us to share all these times, to share all that comes our way with all people near and far. And the other thing that came for me when I was preparing for these readings was that so many people I know have never read the Bible, they've never looked in the Bible, they've never chatted about the Bible to anybody. So many people today don't have a Bible in the house. My parents never went to church, but we always had a Bible in the house, and there were children's, you know, storybooks about the Bible in the house that I read. So many people don't have that, and it's made me think, how can we, across the benefits, help change that? It's always good to have something to think about when we have read the Bible, something that it stirs in us. How can we act on it? So thank you Jesus for your wonderful words. And how this new commandment that we're to love one another. Amen.